on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, two men and a company will be charged over a crash outside a 2019 disco that led to the death of three Tyrone teenagers. The school bus debacle, meanwhile, continues to affect children across Donegal. 2 days of rolling strike action are planned for community and voluntary sector bodies in Galway, Mayo, Cork and Donegal. And a number of non-compliances have been identified at two designated centres for people with disabilities in Donegal. Those stories do follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin, as well as farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. First in news though, two men and a company will be charged over a crash outside a 2019 disco that led to the deaths of three County Tyrone teenagers. It's understood Greenvale Hotel owner Michael McElhattan is one of the men. Sarah McKinley has more.
Morgan Bernard, Lauren Bullock and Connor Curry died following the chaotic crash scenes outside the Greenvale Hotel in Cookstown on March 17th in 2019. In the wake of the tragedy, the PPS had been looking at two files, one sent by the PSNI and another by the Police Ombudsman. The first related to potential criminal charges, and today it emerged two men aged 55 and 43 will be charged with three counts of gross negligence manslaughter. The company which ran the Greenvale Hotel, Tobin Limited, will also be charged over health and safety breaches. Door staff, though, won't face charges. The PPS concluded they could have exercised very little control over managing what happens. The second file was looking at whether police failed that day for not taking action immediately when they arrived at the scene. Today's report says the evidence couldn't meet the high threshold for misconduct in public office, saying there wasn't evidence that they willfully ignored a situation that they were aware of.
The school bus debacle continues to affect children across Donegal. The annual issue has been exacerbated this year due to the waiving of the school transport fees, which has resulted in an unprecedented demand for the service. Parents have been left in limbo, desperately trying to secure transport for their child as schools return. Ethna, who lives in the Convoy area, was under the impression that as her child received a ticket last year, he would be eligible this year again. She told today's 9 till noon show that, according to Bus Erin, there are no other options.
It said on the system that there were no seats available at the minute. He had a seat last year, and the application, we were told back at the beginning of July that we would receive an email to, you know, to inform us about his ticket. So on the system, it said that if your child received a ticket last year, that it just carried on. They renewed the ticket for them. Well, I don't know what to do. He's back at school tomorrow morning. There's always that we hope maybe that the ticket will come through the door. And I keep checking the portal to see if it's changed. I've even checked it before I spoke to you today, this morning. Nothing's changed. Sometimes, like last year, the ticket was fairly late. Like it was the last week before he went back that he got a ticket. We were told, I suppose, there was going to be extra tickets sent out, so we allowed for that, I suppose. They closed the portal because they were inundated, I suppose, with applications, and I just assumed because of what they said that it would go through automatically and he would get his ticket, but we never received an email. And when we sent an email to Stranorler, Microsoft sent a message saying that they weren't receiving emails, so it didn't even get to them. They're not, they've switched off. I rang Stranorler, but they give you a number to ring in Dublin. I rang Dublin, and after almost an hour, I eventually got through. She was a lovely lady on the phone. There's nothing she could do to help me. She couldn't change anything. She said, unfortunately, they probably won't change their mind now. And all she could do was pass on my information.
The Health Minister says a broad conversation needs to be had around when politicians need to declare beneficial interests. Stephen Donnelly was responding to questions over his past support for lowering the tax rate for smaller landlords, despite it being one himself. Yesterday it came to light that he failed to register a property with the RTB in 2019, stating it was an oversight. Minister Donnelly says he's since registered the Sandyford property and paid a fine.
The RTB said go back online, backdate the renewal, and a fine was applied of approximately €100. We could have a much broader conversation, maybe we need to have a much broader conversation about any potential beneficial interest of anybody speaking, and certainly it's a conversation I'm very, very happy to have.
A number of non-compliances have been identified at two designated centres for people with disabilities in Donegal. HICWA found one issue of non-compliance at both Abbey Village Group Homes Kilmacrenan and Sleeve Glass at Carnamugga Letterkenny. Ballytrim House in Raphoe was also inspected. No non-compliances were found. Emma Ryan reports.
HICWA says due to the concerns about the management of safeguarding concerns, overall governance and oversight of HSC centres in Donegal, the Chief Inspector undertook a review of all HSC centres in the county. Abbey Village Group Homes in Kilmacrenan was found to be compliant or substantially compliant in all areas except for in notification of incidents where the home was found to be non-compliant. Some restrictive practices had not been included in the quarterly notifications to the Chief Inspector as required by the regulations. Sleeve Glass, Carnamugga, Letterkenny was found to be substantially compliant or compliant in all areas except for in fire precautions where the centre was found to be non-compliant. Under this regulation, the provider was required to submit an urgent compliance form to address an urgent risk. Ballytrim House in Raphoe was found to be substantially compliant or compliant in all areas of care. The report explains that management at the inspected centres have begun working to rectify any issues which were discovered. Links to the full reports are available on our website at highlandradio.com.
2 days of rolling strike action are planned for community and voluntary sector bodies in Galway, Mayo, Cork and Donegal. They'll take place over 2 days with action planned by community employment supervisors at a number of selected schemes in Donegal on Thursday, September the 22nd. SIP2 says that action by supervisors in the county reflects long-standing pay stagnation at a time of sharp increases in the cost of living crisis. Well, there's further calls for people to come out and show their support for a cost of living protest, which is taking place in Dublin on Saturday, September the 24th. Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle says it's important that a very strong message is sent to government ahead of the budget, particularly in terms of rising energy and electricity prices. Deputy Pringle says other European governments are passing laws to limit price rises, and the Irish government mantra, he says, that it's powerless to act, it must be firmly challenged.
They're not decisions that are out of the government's hands, as they continuously try and say, and that's what's important. They can actually influence these decisions. They can. Right across Europe, governments have taken decisions that have stopped the increases in the electricity costs that have been experienced everywhere else. I think in France, they've seen an increase of something like 5%, whereas we're seeing increases of 36, 37, 38% here in Ireland. No, so why is it different everywhere else? It's because the government is actually taking decisions on behalf of the people. When the electricity market in Ireland was so-called liberalised and opened up to competition, we had the cheapest electricity in Europe provided by the ESB, and now we have the second most expensive electricity in Europe provided by the free market. Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are the governments that have got that wrong and got that decision wrong, and they're the people that we're expecting now to actually sort this out. And you know, and the reality is they are wrong, and this isn't a European push or anything like that, because other European countries are actually intervening to keep the electricity prices rises down, and that's significant. But yet we're here wringing our hands and saying there's nothing we can do. Either we're members of the European Union or we're not, or what is the situation? And I think that the government can be doing an awful lot more, and can be doing an awful lot more to intervene to actually help citizens, and that's what's vitally important. And look, we've seen it over the last number of years as well. It's not only the electricity cost, but also homelessness, housing, stuff they got there. You know, this government can intervene, and it's actual policy decisions by the government not to intervene.
Thalridge Electric Ireland customer will see their bills rise by about €37 each month due to the company's latest price hike. The energy supplier has introduced its third price increase this year, which will raise the average electricity bill by 26.7% from October the 1st. Meanwhile, the price for gas is rising by 37.5%, adding €43 to the average monthly bill. Taoiseach Micheál Martin says measures which are due to be announced in the upcoming budget should help ease pressure on struggling households.
From a government perspective, we will use the budget, and also in tandem with the budget, the cost of living package, to alleviate pressures on households. We'll also have to look at the impact on businesses in terms of jobs and the retention of jobs of this exponential growth in prices. You know, we will deal with that as best we can.
A 17-year-old male has been arrested in Derry after an alleged attack on two ambulance personnel. The ambulance service responded to a call in the Ross na Gaillimhe area at around 8:30 last night as they attempted to assess the condition of the teenager, who was described as being aggressive. They were repeatedly assaulted. The 17-year-old was arrested on suspicion of two counts of assaulting an ambulance worker and resisting police. Whilst in custody, he attempted to assault a police officer and was further arrested for assault on police. He remains in custody at this time. Local St Vincent de Paul branches, including those in Donegal, received 30 calls an hour from parents worried about meeting back-to-school costs. The demand for St Vincent de Paul services is up almost 20% compared to last year. SVP Area President for Letterkenny, Cormac McCormick, explained that due to the rising pressures on the household budget, meeting the cost of going back to school was almost impossible for some parents. He also added that in order for the charity to meet demand, they urgently need more volunteers.
This August, the Society of St Vincent de Paul's regional offices, including our office in Rapport, took on average 30 calls an hour from parents unable to meet the full costs of sending their children back to school. So much pressure on household budgets, meeting the full cost is impossible. Almost half of the requests came from one-parent families, reflecting the very high levels of poverty experienced among these families.
Island Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. Starting with some Gaelic Games news, and Roscommon, GAA and the Gardaí are investigating an incident which resulted in a referee of an underage game being hospitalised. The incident occurred at St Aidan's GAA ground in Ballyforan. Roscommon GAA strongly condemn any behaviour that puts any of their match officials at risk. The Gardaí say they're conducting inquiries into the matter, with St Aidan's saying they will cooperate fully. Elsewhere, Ger Brennan has pulled out of the race to become the new Monaghan manager. The former Dublin star is currently in charge of Kildare club Muirfield and was the Farney County's preferred candidate to replace Seamus McEnany. While here in Donegal, Michael Murphy says whoever takes over the reins at the Donegal senior manager will be taking on an exciting job. But it's not for him just yet. The county board are currently working through the process of replacing Declan Boner, but all information in regards to applicants, nominations and selection committee have been put under wraps. Earlier today it was reported that former Ulster winning manager with Monaghan, Malachy O'Rourke, was not interested in taking up the job. Speaking on today's Around the North West with John Breslin on our outside broadcast at Michael Murphy Sports, Michael said he was not looking to take the job.
I definitely won't be taking charge of the team, I can say that for sure.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
But you wouldn't rule it out on down the line.
No, well, never know. Never say never, but listen.
Just not right now.
Huge undertaking, definitely not right now. It's a job, it's an exciting job for somebody else at a stage of life where they can take it on. Huge belief in the quality of player and the quality of squad we have here in Donegal. And I know there's no manager in place yet, but I know it will be an exciting job for someone, and something that somebody at the right stage of their life is willing to take on. And look forward to seeing who that person will be and rowing in behind as best we can, you know.
On the pitch tonight, the Donegal Ladies Minor League Finals in the Donegal Training Centre in Convoy. Both games thrown in at 6:15. The Division 1, it's Dunlow against St Unans, and Division 2 is Killybegs against Naef Padraig. And in Division 4 in Castlefin this evening at 7 o'clock, Robert Emmett, they play Glenfin. In soccer, Vera Pau says her squad is relaxed ahead of this evening's vital World Cup qualifier with Finland. A Republic of Ireland win at a sold-out Tallaght Stadium will secure a playoff spot for next year's finals. But Pau says her players aren't feeling the pressure of the occasion.
We know, we've played these games now, more of them, and not as a final, but this level of games we've played. And so we know what we are going to face, and we know the difficulties. You get nervous if you don't know what you face.
Kira Grant and Amber Barrett are part of that squad. Kick-off in Tallaght this evening is at 7 o'clock. And Manchester United, they look to continue their winning run in the Premier League tonight. Eric Ten Hag's side go to the King Power to face Leicester. kickoff there is at 8 o'clock. Meanwhile, Manchester United completed the signing of Antony from Ajax for £85.4 million today. The Brazilian forward has agreed a contract until 2027 with the option of a further year. And on transfer deadline day, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is to leave Barcelona for Chelsea, with Marco Alonso going the other way. And Juventus midfielder Arthur Melo is to join Liverpool on loan until the end of the season. And Nottingham Forest, they have signed Wolves defender Wilfred Bolly on a two-year deal. Locally in soccer, there will be only five teams contesting this season's Ulster Senior League. Monaghan United have withdrawn after just one season in the league. It's a blow to the league, who were hoping to build on team numbers in recent seasons. The Ulster Senior League Secretary Niall Callan has told Highland Radio Sport the committee are very disappointed that Monaghan have opted to leave the league. That leaves the five-team league made up of champions Coghill Celtic, Bonnygee United, Letterkenny Rovers, Finn Harps and Derry City. The new season starts this weekend on Saturday with Letterkenny and Bonnygee meeting in the League Cup. In the Donegal Junior Leagues this evening, the Brian McCormick Cup Gwydor Group B, Kilmacrenan and Celtic play Cranford at 7:15. And at 6:30 in the Voodoo Cup Area 2, Donegal Town, they play Drumbar United. A couple of results from last night's Colin Breslin Youth Cup. It was Ballyrain 1, Kilmacrenan Celtic 3. Letterkenny Rovers 2, Ballybuffet United 2. The semi-finals take place next Wednesday when Bonnygee, they play Ballybuffet, and Letterkenny Rovers play Kilmacrenan Celtic. In golf, Jonathan Caldwell is just two shots off the lead on 6 under par following an open round of 65 at the DP World Tours made in Denmark. Ewan Ferguson, Justin Walters and Matthew Southgate, they're in the joint lead on 8 under par. Paul Dunn started with a 4 under par round of 67. And Leona Maguire and Stephanie Meadow are both in the field at the Dana Open in Ohio tonight. Meadow tees off just around about now, and an hour later, Maguire will be out on the course. In tennis, the women's top seed faces a former US Open champion in the opening match on the Arthur Ashe Arena this evening. Iga Swiatek plays 2017 champion Sloane Stephens for a place in the third round. And on court 17, fourth seed Paula Badosa goes up against Petra Martic. And tonight, Rafa Nadal takes on Italian Fabio Fognini. Well, on the score this evening, this week, former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle takes a look at the Premier Division games this weekend for Derry City and Finn Harps. We have more on this week's launch of Finn Harps entering the National Women's League, along with the Donegal and Inishowen Leagues. The Danny Gormley Memorial Knockalla Hill Climb takes place this weekend. We'll be speaking to Clark of the course, Michael Kelly. And the Donegal Masters play the All-Ireland Shield Final against Galway. Mark Cannon joins us on the programme. That's the score this evening after the 7 o'clock news. It's back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. For weather now, today will be mostly dry with sunny spells and just a few light showers. Highest temperatures of 18 to 21 degrees. And the closing headlines this evening, two men and a company will be charged over a crush outside a 2019 disco that led to the deaths of three County Tyrone teenagers. It's understood Greenvale hotel owner Michael Hatton is one of the men. The school bus debacle continues to affect children across Donegal. The annual issue has been exacerbated this year due to the waiving of the school transport fees, which has resulted in an unprecedented demand for the service. A number of non-compliances have been identified at two designated centres for people with disabilities in Donegal. HICWA found one issue of non-compliance at both Abbey Village Group Homes Kilmacrenan and Sleeve Glass at Carnamugga Letterkenny. And a 17-year-old male has been arrested in Derry after an alleged attack on two ambulance personnel. The ambulance service responded to a call in the Ross na Gaillimhe area at around 8:30 last night. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Highland's Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union, Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about what can be called a Fitbit for cows and how robotics are having a big impact on improving efficiency and reducing labour on farms. But first, one of a number of organic farm walks around the country takes place this evening on the farm of Andrew McShane in Ballyshannon. The event is open to farmers and their families and is an opportunity to see firsthand the experiences of a farmer involved in organic farming enterprises. This regional event runs from 6 until 9 p.m. And some advance notice of a number of events coming up. The County Donegal Executive of the IFA will be holding a county meeting on the farm of Frank McLean in Manor Cunningham next Tuesday, September the 6th at 7:30 p.m. Guest speakers will be Brendan Golden, the IFA National Livestock Chairman, Laura Boyd, Rural Development Officer for Donegal, and Thomas Burke, IFA Director of Livestock. And another date for your diary as part of the Wear the Green Ribbon initiative to promote mental health. There will be a woodland walk and talk at Ards Forest Park on Sunday, September the 11th at 3 p.m. In other news, more than 70,000 farmers have applied for the €56 million fodder support scheme before the closing date. The Agriculture Minister, Charlie McConnellogue, has confirmed, and he's also confirmed that the European Commission has this week formally adopted Ireland's draft CAP strategic plan for the period 2023 to 2027. Well, there's going to be a talk and information day about improving efficiency and reducing labour on the farm. It's taking place next Wednesday on Jack Porter's farm in Carrigans. I'm delighted to say that Tommy Nocton joins us on the line to tell us a little bit more. And I suppose, first of all, Tommy, just maybe outline what this is all about.
Yes, Chris. Well, thank you for having me on. First of all, this is a joint venture with the Porters, and we greatly appreciate them allowing us the use of their farm, and with our partners MSD and ourselves EFS, Efficient Farm Systems. The purpose of this meeting is to discuss what role technology can play in reducing labour and increasing efficiency farm, and how that can be incorporated successfully at farm level.
Now, of course, we've had technology and robotics have developed over time. You've been involved in this sector for quite a number of years, and no doubt you've seen an awful lot of changes.
Yes, we have. At the moment, there's an explosion in this technology due to a number of reasons. The success at farm level in the incorporation of this technology and the benefits it can bring in reducing labour.
So give us a couple of examples of the type of thing people can see on next Wednesday and what they're going to hear about.
So across the day, we will have, Chris, 5 to 6 speakers, and we will discuss the heat detection technology, the SenSub heat detection technology, the AllFlex automatic drafting gate. We will have a local vet there discussing selective dry cow therapy. We also have an exciting new project, new product, the somatic cell counters, and I will also be discussing the role of farm robotics.
Tell us a little bit more about farm robotics. Are we going to see big changes in the next 5-10 years, do you think? I mean, obviously there's a big investment, but long term it'll pay off.
I believe so, Chris, yes. In terms of the efficiencies this technology can bring in freeing up more time for the farmer at farm level to spend his time more productively in making, you know, getting a better reward for his time. This technology can reduce that labour requirement. In terms of the heat detection collars, we've seen an explosion in the market in the last number of years in this technology. A super product. It's a heat and health monitoring collar. It's a Fitbit, if you want to put it that way, for cows. It will send you heat alerts, health alerts, if a cow is sick, an animal is lame, off food, or in heat. And that information will come in a very timely fashion to the farmer, and he's able to react to that very speedily.
Well, going forward, obviously there's going to be things evolving, so more and more people are certainly going to look at this as a real option on their farms.
Absolutely, and next Wednesday on the Porter's Farm, everyone is welcome to come and hear this and see this technology from the horse's mouth.
And Tommy, you're not from Donegal, but you've been living in Remelton for quite a while.
Yes, Chris, I'm a proud Galway man, but I'm married to a great Donegal woman and I have three great kids, and I'm living in Remelton for the last 16 years. I've been involved in agriculture all my life. I was reared on a farm. I have a degree in agriculture from UCD, and I've been involved in this industry for over 20 years now. And in the last number of years, I've become involved in farm automation and farm robotics.
So you've seen huge changes. Now, as the technology evolves, more investment, more research, there is a cost factor. Is there much in the way of grants and financial assistance in this particular sector?
Yes, there is grants in some parts of the sector. That is currently up for review under the new cap. So the current grants are running out at the end of the year, but that is not really applicable to heat and health monitoring collars at the moment. There is no grant, but in the overall picture of farm technology, there is grants available on some equipment, but that is changing, you know, and we will know a bit more in the new cap.
And how do we compare with our European neighbours? Are we ahead of the curve, behind the curve, or somewhat in the middle?
That's a very good question. As I said to you earlier, the market is exploding in Ireland at the moment. It's a growing industry. Farmers are embracing farm automation and the technology and in becoming more efficient. Our farmers are some of the most efficient, productive farmers in the world, as we well know, and the product we produce at the highest quality. So We are up there, you know. We are up there with the best of them, you know.
And is it fair to say? I mean, it would tend to be the younger farmers who show more interest, or is that unfair to suggest that?
I would think that's unfair. In reality, all farmers are embracing this technology. You know, maybe in the earlier days, it might have been young guys, but absolutely not. No, all farmers are embracing this technology. The views are becoming more efficient.
So finally, the improving efficiency and reducing labour on the farm, that's the sort of the theme of this information day at Jack Porter's Farm in Carrigans. It'll be a real opportunity for people to go and maybe see for the first time some of the things that they can benefit from. If they want more details, where can they find them?
They can find it, I believe it's up on the Donegal IFA Facebook page. They can also contact myself on 086-386-3316. The meeting will start on Jack Porter's Farm at 11 o'clock next Wednesday. That's Wednesday the 7th of September at 11 a.m. All are welcome to come and hear about this technology from the horse's mouth.
And that was Tommy Naughton speaking to me there about that improving efficiency and reducing labour on the farm information day next week. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Highlands Farming News and Views is brought to you in association with Lifford Credit Union, who have recently launched Cultivate, an agricultural loan at only 6.55%, APR 6.75%. Call in to any of their three offices for more information or to make an appointment. Lifford Credit Union. Rafoe Newton Lifford, supporting local farmers.
The habitual notices for this Thursday evening, the 1st of September. The death has taken place of Sister Gerard McLaughlin, Sisters of Mercy, St. Catherine's Convent, Ballyshannon, late of Drumhill, Termin. Funeral arrangements to follow. The death has taken place in Connecticut, USA, of Martin Gallagher, Carrick Toscan, Gwydor. Removal to Rorty's funeral home, Derry Beg, via Factory Road tomorrow, arriving at 4:30. Wake from 4:30 to 8:00 with Rosary at 8, and again on Saturday from 3 to 8 with Rosary at 8. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Derry Beg, on Sunday morning at 11, with interment afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family Fares Only, please. Donations in lieu to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Pat Rowan, 116 Marine Drive, Killybegs. Remains reposing at his residence from 12 noon to 10 p.m. tomorrow and Saturday. Removal from his residence on Sunday morning at 10:30 to St Mary of the Visitation Church, Killybegs, for 11:00 funeral mass. Burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Mass will be streamed live on mcnmedia.tv. House private, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family Fares Only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Oncology Ward, Sligo University Hospital, care of any family member or McBrearty Funeral Directors. The death has occurred of Garvin McFadden, The Lynx, Seapoint, Termon Fecken, County Louth, formerly of Rathmullen. Reposing at his home tomorrow from 2:00 until 8:00. Removal on Saturday morning at 11:30 to the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Termon Fecken, arriving for funeral mass at 12 noon, which can be viewed live on termonfeckenparish.ie. Burial afterwards in Holy Cross Cemetery, Sheetland Road. Family Fares Only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Irish Cancer Society. House private, please, on Saturday morning. The death has occurred of Marion Douglas, née Roger, Legnathraw, St Johnson. Marion will repose at her late residence in Legnathraw from 7:00 this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to St Columbus Church, Dromahol, for 11:00 Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family Fares Only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, Letterkenny, care of any family member or Kelly Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Jimmy Cullen, Devlin Rea, Carrigard. Remains reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Saturday to the Church of St John the Baptist, Carrigard, for 11:00 Requiem Mass, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Pat Meehan, 39, Ashlone, Letterkenny, formerly of Kilcluny, Portnew. Pat's remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass on Saturday morning at 11 in the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Letterkenny. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on the parish Facebook page. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 9 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family Fares Only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Irish Community Rapid Response, care of any family member or James McGuinness and Sons Funeral Director. The death has occurred in Birmingham, England, of David Ewing, formerly of the Curragh, Killigordon. Requiem Mass will be celebrated for David in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon, on Saturday morning at 11. Interment of ashes will take place afterwards in the family grave in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on the St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon Facebook page. The death has taken place of Robbie Barclay, Town Parks Convoy. Reposing at Gibson's Funeral Home Convoy today and tomorrow from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday at 12 noon for service in St Ninian's Parish Church Convoy at 12:30, with burial afterwards in the family plot in the adjoining churchyard. The death has occurred of Noel O'D, Town Parks, Rafoe, County Donegal, formerly of Brewery, County Limerick. Noel is reposing at Kelly's Funeral Home with Rosary at 8 p.m. Funeral from his late residence tomorrow morning at 11:30, going to St Union's Church of Rafoe for Requiem Mass at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv, with family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family Fares Only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Rafoe Conference of St Vincent de Paul, care of any family member or Kelly's Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Teresa McGonigal, née Kelly, 427 Victoria Road, Ballymagorry, formerly of Ahearn, reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Clockcore, at 10:00. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. And the death has taken place of Edward Eddie Crawford, Station Road, Porthall, Lifford. Eddie's remains are reposing at his home until 10 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there tomorrow morning for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, followed by interment in St Bathan's Cemetery, St Johnson. Funeral Mass can be viewed on clonleyparish.com. House private, please, from 10 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.